Okay, so we're going to finish off everything right now.
Shout out Derek.
Okay.
What?
And Charlie?
He got one last time. Okay. So we'll start at 25, we'll finish off the 30, and then Merit Hashem, Chazor Shabbos, get it clear for Sunday. Merit Hashem, everyone will do well. Finish off this man on a strong note. It's been a great week of Chazar so far. Had some interruptions with COVID and whatnot, but Baruch Hashem guys counted through. And the guys on Zoom also. We're thinking of you. Okay, so Ma'u Perish, we'll start at 25. Ma'u Perish, Kol Shefa V'Shefa, Zimnahu, L'das Ari Magash, Ritva V'Ashach. So the Gemara discussed how we view each single row as a separate zman or as a separate zman, and therefore it's going to be viewed as tocha zman, and that's why it wouldn't be a raya to that side. Okay, so that's just the Gemara. So what does Rebbe Nagash say? He says he translates. This is not. I'm not sure if you know this for the Bechina, but he says that kol shefa v'shefa really is means kol shah v'sha, every time. Instead of saying kol shefa v'shefa, you translate that as such. And furthermore, he says, however, he's neman for the chelik that was built, not that what, but not what wasn't built yet. Meaning, when we say that it means like you're going to be neman, it's considered like bizman or la'achar azman, right? So each row. So that means you're going to be believed for all the rows that had happened prior. But that doesn't necessarily mean you're going to be believed for the rows to come. And that was the Rimagash. However, the Ritva and the Shach disagree. We'll discuss how there's a difference between the Ritva and the Shach, but let's do the Ritva first. So the Ritva says, Toch Dalad Amos, we view it as La'achar Hazman. Why? Because we say it's normal to be Machdim Mos on the Binyan, right? Meaning it's normal to prepay. So therefore, we view every layer is considered a separate zman. So it's normal to pay early, right? 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 We say that one actually would be makdim mos on the binyan. So therefore, one would be neman to say that they paid tocha zman, because each layer is viewed as a separate zman. Now the shach said similarly, and then we'll discuss in a second why the ritva and the shach are different. But the shach said that what's the case? I paid after, let's say, the third row. And there's going to be like five rows overall. The chiddush is not that I'm only neman for the first three rows, but my claim applies to all five rows as well. Similar to the ritva, everyone pays bizman, but since kol shefa v'shefa is a zimni, right? He will feel like a tirda because there's so much separate zman and building up, right? There's this constant like pressure of like this is a new zman. I have to pay for each single row. So he's going to be very happy to prepay to avoid this tirda, the pressure of having all these different zmanim that he has to pay up each time. It's like every row there's a new chiyuv to pay for that row. There's a new obligation. So he's going to say, you know what, this pressure of kol zimni v'zimni, it's so much, I'm going to be very happy to prepay. So we discussed, I don't know if you know this for the Bechina, but I think it's important just to know that the Ritva and the Shach seem to be very very similar, that a guy would prepay. So what's the difference? So at first glance, the Ritva runs in tangent with the Shach. They seem to be parallel. So what's the difference? So we mentioned what could be the difference? That the Shach, when he said his pshat, he was talking about kuntresim as well, about these letters. Which implies what the Shach is discussing, that this idea of being a prepaying applies to all areas of halacha, right? It wouldn't be a dafka in our case of binyan, but applied to all areas. Can trace him, and we'll see another nafkamina how he applies to other areas as well. Whereas the Ritva is saying, no, this idea of prepayment, that someone wants to get it off their chest, and will prepay, and therefore he's a neman for the future as well, that would only apply dafka by binyan. He doesn't say it by any other cases. So that's the difference between the Shach and the Ritva. So now let's discuss a couple of nafkaminas. So there are really two nafkaminas we brought. I think that there's one nafkamina between the Shach and the Ritva, which I don't think we need to know for the Bechina, but I'll say it anyways. And there's one fundamental nafkamina, which is between all three shitas, the Shach, the Ritva, and the Rimagash. So first let's do the nafkamina between the Shach and the Ritva. So what's the nafkamina? Let's say the Malveh made a tanai, the loveh should pay a little bit every month for the next 30 years, right? So he's going to pay, you know, for the next 30 years, he's going to pay a little bit of the loan each time. Is it normal to prepay? Is it normal, do we say in this situation, is normal to prepay in this situation? So the shach said in this case where, you know, you're paying a little bit every single month, would we say it's normal for the loveh to prepay, you know, a lump sum for the next 30 years? So the shach would say it's normal to pay. Why? Because he says that he is the yesod of the prepayment applies to all areas of halacha. It doesn't apply just to binyan, it applies to kontrasim, it applies to all areas. Whereas the Ritva would say, no, it only applies dafka by binyan, but not by prepaying your rent. So that was the difference in nafkamina between the shach and the Ritva, because they seemed pretty similar. But now let's think of one, there's one fundamental nafkamina between the Ritva and the shach against the rimagash. So the nafkamina was, I mean, which is like simple, like we said this already, but just you know, we'll say it again. Is he ne'eman by a binyan to say he was to say that he paid everything up front? Is someone ne'eman for prepayments? Right, in the case of our case, where there's, let's say there are five rows, and he's ne'eman when he says that he pays for, that each one is a different zimni, and he said that he paid for the first three. Is he ne'eman that he paid for all five as well? So the Ritva and the Shach say because there's a tirda of each zman there's a pressure to pay, therefore he's going to be ne'eman to prepay for the whole entire binyan. Whereas the Rima Gash would say no, he would say one would not prepay, and therefore you're only going to be ne'eman for rows 1, 2, and 3, but not 4 and 5. So that's the nafkamina between these shitas. So moving on to 26. Ma perish miyemar the mechayv le rabbanon l'das harashi the haritva v'tei nafkamina b'nehem. So in the Gemara we said that maybe we should never believe the guy who just keeping in mind where we are in the Gemara, the guy was so mech his kosel to the other kosel, and we're saying that the guy is going to say, you know, Rabban are never going to make me be obligated to contribute to this wall, so therefore he would not be neman to say that he could contribute to this wall already to his friend's wall. So how do we understand this word miyemar mechayv l'rabbanan? Who said l'rabbanan is ever going to be mechayv me to pay? So let's do shitas Rashi and then we'll do the Ritva and then we'll get into some nafkaminas or one nafkamina. So Rashi says, what does he say? The guy will claim that based in won't be mechayv him to pay and he'll get a freebie. And this is the key line. This is the point we need to take away from Rashi. He says even parasicha bizmani he won't be ne'eman. Even if the guy said I paid on time, bizmani he won't be ne'eman after the second kosel is built. He's not going to pay because he thinks the rabbanon aren't going to obligate him above da'at amos at all. He thinks he's totally, when he says mi'emar on the chayil rabbanon, he thinks I'm never going to be obligated to pay at all. Therefore, even if we know that parasicha bizmani usually work and it is ne'eman, Rashi says dafka in this case he's not going to be ne'eman, which is a very important point in Rashi. The Ritva says that argues with this idea, and he says that he thought that they can't force me to pay until I put up the tikra. Right? Rashi said the guy thinks he's never going to be obligated to pay at all, but the Ritva says no. He thought that I'm only going to have to pay once I put the tikra up. He thought that, you know, I'll get all my stuff together, and they can't really pressure me. However, if he says prasicha bizmani after he was somech, he would be ne'eman. So that's the point of contention between Rashi and the Ritva. Rashi says that if he says prasicha bizmani, he's not going to be ne'eman because he never thought he's going to be obligated ever. Where the Ritva says no. If he says prasicha bizmani, he is ne'eman. However, he wouldn't be ne'eman say toch, but he would be ne'eman bizmani. So why is that? Why does the Ritva disagree with Rashi that he would be ne'eman say parasicha bizmani? Even though we say mi'emar rabbanon mi'emar d'mechayv l'rabbanon. So why is that? So he said that he feels this right before he puts up the tikra. He feels a tirda, an itch. He knows he's going to have to pay. He knows that once I put up this tikra, then I'm going to be obligated to pay. So he feels that pressure building up already, which is why maybe we would believe him bizman. Because the case, we're saying bizman, meaning when after he built that second wall, which is after samech lo kosel acher. There, because of this pressure at this stage in the building process, he'd be ne'eman to say parasicha bizmani, because there's some kind of tirda. So he'll be ne'eman to say parasicha bizmani. Obviously, he would not be ne'eman to say parasicha betochzmani. So we asked before we get into the nafkmina, We'll go a little out of order if that's okay. So we asked, we can do the nafkamina actually. So the case, the nafkamina, which I already spelled out a couple times already, is if it's bismano, right? If he says parsicha bisman, which is la'acher shesamach hakoso, after he puts up that second wall, is he ne'eman to say parsicha bisman, that I paid on time? So Rashi would say, eno ne'eman bismano. You're never going to be ne'eman, even if you say bismano. And why is that? Rashi says because the guy thinks he's never going to be obligated at all. So even if he says bismano, we're still not going to believe him. Whereas the Ritva, as we just explained, says that the guy actually is going to be ne'eman because there's a tirda, there's a pressure. And therefore, only bisman is he going to be believed because he has this itch to pay. So he's going to feel some kind of pressure to pay up. So now we asked, okay, so lama lo pirash Rashi kmo Ritva. So why does Rashi disagree with the Ritva? What the Ritva is saying makes a lot of sense. That there's a tirda. So what's pshat? How do we understand Rashi? So we gave two different understandings. We gave two different ways to explain Rashi. One was the Tosfos Rid, and one was the Rashba. So we'll start with the Tosfos Rid. So we said the Tosfos Rid fires back. He says the assumption of the question is faulty. Even after the tikra is up, the guy still thinks that he's never going to be chayev bichlal. Even with the tikra is up, he thinks he's never going. There's never going to be a pressure for this guy. There's never going to be a tirda at all. This guy says in his heart that the Rabbanon said I was pater for above Daud Amos, and this is the Lamal Daud Amos. So who says they're going to be mechayev me at all? Furthermore, this is a case of zenenev zelo chaser, right? I'm just putting. He's not losing out by me putting my tikra leaning on his wall. The tikra isn't so crazy heavy, and the wall isn't so weak that my tikra is going to knock down his wall. In this situation, this is a case of zenenev zelo chaser. Actually, pater. This guy thinks he's going to be pater completely going on forever. So there's no tirda bichlal. That was the Tosfos Rid, working with this idea of he thinks he's never going to be obligated l'malam adalat amos, and with this idea of zaynanev zelo chaser. The Rashba gives a different response. He says here, the guy feels no tirda, but why is that? Because he thinks he's in control of the chiyuv, right? When you have the power is in your hands to decide when you're going to be chayev and when you're not going to be chayev, then there's no pressure to pay. Because he knows that whenever I do X, then I'm going to have to pay. But until then, I'm chilling. So he thinks the chiyuv is taloi bo, and only occurs after he puts up the tikra. The chiyuv isn't built in, but it's biyado. It's in his power. Therefore, you're not going to feel a pressure because he knows he'll have to pay later. But there's no pressure right now because the chiyuv is in his ability. He can decide when he's actually going to feel the pressure, when he's actually going to have to pay. So that was the Rashba. So just in summary, before we move on to 27, Tosfos Riz says he assumes that there's no chiyuv at all. Whereas the Rashba says there's a chiyav, but he's in control of when the chiyav is going to occur, so therefore there's no tirda in this situation. Okay, moving on to 27. Me'ezeh yisomim efshar legavos kishemesa av toch zman halva v'lamba. So when the father dies, from which yisomim are we able to collect are we able to collect toch zman, right? Because the love, the dad died in between. Within the zman of the loan, so which yisomim are we allowed to exact payment from? So this is a machlokas Tosfos in the Rush. We'll say out what the machlokas is, the pashtus, and then we'll go into the why. So basically, outside Tosfos says dafka gedolim b'nah katanim, and the Rush says no, it can even be katanim as well. So what's behind that machlokas between the Tosfos and the Rush? So Tosfos, we said, why can't you? We asked the Tosfos, so why can't you collect from katanim? So imagine there were two different reasons that Tosfos brought. I'm assuming you have to know the second one, because the second one is really where the Rush and Tosfos disagree. But we'll say both anyways for the sake of Chazara, and the sake of just, maybe you will need to know it, I'm not sure. But the first one is that katanim don't have a mitzvah of parati balchov, right? There's no mitzvah of them to have to pay the balchov, so therefore because they're not mitzvah, therefore you can't collect from them. That's a simpler approach to why they would not be obligated. But we said, even according to Rav Huna, Ketanim would be obligated in this mitzvah of paying up their father's loan. And we still aren't, yet we still aren't going to be goved in this situation. Even though there is a mitzvah, we still can't be goved by the Ketanim. So why is that? You mentioned this idea that Shema, there's a bundle or mashkel that the father gave to the malveh to show he would pay. This is the idea of tsrari. Tsrari is like this mashkel. And we say v'arachoshin l'tsrari. So therefore, we don't collect from these yisomim ketanim. So usually we assume that tsrari occurs at the beginning or end. So why toch? We got into that a little bit in shir about why is this loan happening? Toch, usually we assume that tsrari only is going to occur at the beginning or at the end. Okay, I don't think Rabbi want us to know, really to delve into that so much. But regardless, you still wouldn't collect from the yisomim that are ketanim because they are considered as shelo b'fanav. We view them as shelo b'fanav, and therefore, by this idea, by chayshin letzrari, we're not going to be able to collect by ketanim. But the Rush, he argues, and he says that you can even collect from yisomim ketanim without a shvuah. And why is that so? He says that the Tosfos' situation of chashin letzrari would never really occur. Since one wouldn't give a tsrari in the middle of the malveh, because he would do it, because when do you usually do a mashkon? Usually you do a mashkon in the beginning when you're establishing the loan, or you do a mashkon at the end of the loan, at the end of the loan, because you want an extension of the loan. So you say, let me give you this mashkon so I have to buy yourself some more time. But no one's going to do a tsrari b'toch hazman. Who's going to be matfis that tsrari? Therefore, you can even collect from the ketanim because this concern of chashin letzrari is not a real concern. Therefore, you can even collect from the ketanim, and we aren't concerned with this idea of ketanim being shelo b'fanav. So I'm moving on to question 28. So Masai Sarias Hamalve Liyashva Kishigova Menalove Shatoin Shapara Tokazman Dasa Rama Dasa Rav Haigon Vilama. So the question was, when does the malveh matay sarach hamalveh liyashva? Yes. So when does the malveh need to make a shvua when he's collecting from the loveh? So the loveh makes the claim that he is parea tochazman. So what situation would the malveh need to make a shvua that he can still collect from him? So the Rambam says that the shvua, we have to figure out, okay, so how is the shvua functioning? So the Rambam says the shvua functions as a clarification. And since the chazaka of in adam pareya tochazman is clear, it's mivareres in the place of the shvua. Therefore, there's no need for a shvua in this situation. The malveh is not going to need to make a shvua to collect from the loveh, because we have a chazaka of in adam pareya tochazman, and this chazaka is in place of the shvua. I mean, really, she shouldn't need to make a shvua. He's collecting from this guy, but because the chazaka is mevarer the situation, therefore it's in place of the shvua, and therefore the malveh is not going to need to make a shvua at all. But Rav Haigon says differently. He says that there are chiyuvim in the Mishnah. We mentioned pogim sharos, lekuchos, where there's something funny in the taina of the malveh, right? If the piron can only be tochazman, if in this situation, if the payment can only be tochazman, do we say you need a shvua or not, right? So let's give an example. By pogim sharos, right, where the situation is where the loveh is claiming that I already paid up part of the loan. Does the malveh need a shvua? Does the malveh need a shvua to collect from the loveh, or do we say the chazaka says in adam pareya tochazman, right? Or do we say that the loveh wouldn't have paid up his loan earlier? Therefore, the chazaka is on the side of the malveh, and therefore he would not need to make a shvua. So, what do we say over here in this case? So Rav Haigon says you need a shvua to collect over here, but why? I think through understanding the differences between our case of Yisomim and other cases of the shvua Samishna, we'll understand what's going on over here. So Rav Haigon says you would need a shvua to collect by the pogim shtaros. So why is that so? So we contrasted it by the case of the Yisomim. So by Yisomim, we either say. So we could either say, you know, like we just said earlier, like the Rambam, that we say the chazaka takes the place of the shvua, and therefore the malva, and that's why the malva doesn't have to make a shvua in that situation. Because you know the maskana of the Gemara is, you do not need to make a shvua. Maybe there's a different reason as to why you do not need to make a shvua. And what would that reason be? Or we say chazaka is weakens the taina. Right? This guy says, the guy says, that I paid b'toch hazman, and the chazaka is just weakening that taina. Rashi says that Beis Din says this is the Rashi and Ksuvas that Rebbe wanted. Rashi says Beis Din says he shtavali delo parasicha, that Beis Din is usually the mouthpiece for the yisomim, right? If someone wants to collect from orphans, Beis Din, you know, makes a taina on behalf of the orphans. So if it's based on Beis Din and their taninan, right, they make a claim for the orphans, they're only going to make claims for the orphans in common cases, right? They're only going to help out the yisomim in common cases. However, in our situation, the chazaka makes the taina not common, right? When we have a chazaka of Ein Adam Pareya b'toch hazman, and that makes the even if Beis Din would be taninan for the yisomim, right? The chazaka of Ein Adam Pareya b'toch hazman makes this an uncommon case, and therefore, if this chazaka is therefore making this case an uncommon case, it's a taina tefillin d'lo shchicha. Therefore, you're not going to need a shvuah over here as well, because the taina of the yisomim is so weak, or the taina of the Beis Din is so weak. However, what's the Rav Haigon saying? By a normal case, which is by Pogim Shtaros, right? The Malvis taina is weak, right? This guy is saying that he paid already. It's a Pogim Shtaros. Therefore, he has the side of more believability than the Malva does. So in that situation, he's going to need a chazaka, and he's going to need a shvua. And the chazaka is not going to wipe out the need for a shvua. So therefore, I think basically just to say it outside, I know I just said a lot, but the cases of yisomim, right? The taina is so weak and so uncommon that we're not going to need a shvua in that situation. But by a normal case of, let's say, pogim shtaros, the malves taina is weakened in that situation, and therefore hidafka is going to need to make a shvua. So now moving on to question 29. Im halove toe nishtabeli delo parasicha b'toch hazman, im malves sarch liyashva. So let's say the Lova says back to this guy, he says back to the Malvet, make a shvua to me that I didn't pay b'toch, that I didn't pay b'toch hazman. Does the Malvet need to take him up on that offer and make a shvua or not? So we mentioned it was a machlokes, the Tosfos and the Rabban, and we'll explain what's behind the machlokes. So Tosfos says he creates a comparison from Yisomimim to all cases of Shtaros, all cases of Shvua, right? Or Love. He says that he says in Ein Chiyuv Shvua Lefreb and Yisomim Tochazman. If we say by in a case of Yisomim, right, that by a case of Yisomim, you do not need to make a Shvua to collect from them, we assume that a person wouldn't pay Tochazman. Therefore, we assume the father of the Yisomim did not pay tochazman, and therefore we can collect from them even without a shvua. And we would say that by all cases of tochazman, right? There isn't a chiyuv of shvua at all for the malveh to collect from the loveh in all situations. So Tosfos is learning from the case of yisomim to normal cases of hava as well. But the Ramban says, and we're also going to see Tosfos and Shuas, that they say there's a big difference between our case of Yisomim and other cases of Loveh. He says maybe Tosfos is not correct. And by Yisomim, by Tochazman, right, there is no Chiyuv. But by Stam, by a normal case of Loveh, there is going to be a Chiyuv. So we mentioned that the key words are Shema and Bari. By the Yisomim, the Chiyuv is more of a Shema. And why is that so? Because they're not the ones who are making the claim on their own behalf, right? It's Beis Din is making the claim for them. It's Beis Din is being taninan for them. However, by Lova, it's Bari. Their claim of Particha Tochazman, let me say it more clearly, the Ramban says when it's Bari, there's a Chiyuv Tochazman because there is an obligation to pay up. And therefore, maybe the Lova Taka did pay. So he can make the malva make a shvua, right? Because this situation, it's clear what's going on. However, when there's a shema, when it's not clear, when Beis Din is the one who's making the claim, it's not even the yisomim themselves. When the guy is making the claim himself, that's bari. That's clear what's happening. The lova is making a claim. He's saying that I already paid. When Beis Din is making the claim on behalf of the yisomim, that's a shema. That's not so clear. So in that situation, when there's a shema, then the chazaka will override it. And therefore, by the case of Yisomim, right, the Chazak of Eilam Preb Tochazman is going to knock out the, their claim, and therefore the guy's not going to need to make a Shvuah. But when the taina of the Lova in a normal situation is Bari, then we are going to make the Malveh make a Shvuah. Tosfos and Shvuas says, no, it's a different. There's another reason why Ari cases so mim you would not need to make a Shvuah, but by other cases you would need to make a Shvuah. He says, because the reason you need to make a Shvuah is that it's special takanas rabbanim, you need to make a Shvuah as a protection for the Yisomim. And yeah, so he says that dafka by Yisomim, there's this special idea of making of what's it called of making a Shvuah to protect them, but that wouldn't necessarily apply that wouldn't apply in our case because of the chazaka. Okay, moving on to the final question, and then we'll call it. I guess we could also daven mincha here. If we have enough. I don't think we have enough. Maybe whatever. No. Okay. So final question. So nistapku b'gemara iam rina migo makam chazaka olo. So what was the case in the Gemara? So if the guy comes la'achar hazman and says and he says particha b'toch hazman, right? So this is the case of, this is not coming bizman. This is the case of coming la'achar hazman. So do we say that his migo is a good taina that he could say I pay b'toch hazman? Or do we say no? There's a chazaka in Adam Pereb Tov Chazman, and therefore it's going to knock out his migo. So what that was the what the Gemara was dealing with. Okay, so now let's deal with the Shijah of the Gebetes, and we'll explain the two different ways to answer up his question, and then another. Okay, fine. It's a stacked question. So Ma Kasha Shijah of the Gebetes Al Ikar HaSafik. So what's his question? So he says that we say. We know this is the idea of migo lahosi doesn't work, right? With a migo, you can't be motzi mamon from someone. But a migo lahachzik does work, right? You have a migo to be machzik something. However, what's the question over here? Do we say a chazaka lahotzi, right? I understand that you know, by a migo lahotzi, that's not going to work, right? But do we say a chazaka lahachzik that in poreya tochazman? And then we should force the guy to pay. Therefore, in our situation, right, what's that play in our Gemara? There's a chazaka lahosi. There's a chazaka that in anam preya b'tochazman. And therefore, that chazaka should show how the guy has to pay up. It's not a migo lahotzi. This is a chazaka lahotzi. Therefore, it's not even a shaila. Meaning, if we have a chazaka versus a... Why is chazaka versus a migo even a question? If it's a chazaka lahotzi, right... And we know that amiga lahotzi is not going to work. I understand that, but if it's chazaka lahotzi, that should definitely knock out the amigo completely. So what's even the question of our gemara? Why is it even a shaila of amigo versus chazaka? Chazaka should totally win the day. So, what does the Shijah Mikubetzes explain? He says that our case, the case in our Mishnah, is not a case of amiga lahotzi. What is it? Meaning, if it's a case of Miga Lahotzi, which doesn't work, versus Chazaka Lahotzi, which does work, then obviously we're going to say Chazaka Lahotzi is going to win out. But he says, our case is not a case of Chazaka Lahotzi. It's not a case of Miga Lahotzi. So what is it? It's a case of, this is a new terminology, it's Migo Lahachzik. It's a combination of a Migo and a Chazaka. And what is that? The Cheskas Mamon. And the Mamon should stay by the guy who has it right now. So therefore, the cheskas mamon that the mamon belongs to this guy should combine with the migo. Say it's two against one, and that should outweigh the chazaka. I mean, even though there's a chazaka lahotzi to remove it to make the lovet pay more, we say that over here we can say the migo plus the cheskas plus the cheskas mamon that this guy has the money with him right now plus the migo. That's going to have the ability to weigh out against chazaka. It's not chazaka lahotzi versus migo lahotzi. Rather, it's chazaka lahotzi versus chazkas mamon plus migo. And that's why it's actually a shaila in the Gemara. Which that's why it's a suffix in the Gemara. But so how is Tosfos going to respond to this? So we mentioned that Tosfos quoted the Gemara in Yevamos that even if a woman said in this case of Yibam, right? Even if the woman said I didn't have bia. With the Yibam she is nemenes for 30 days, right? She's neman to say that she didn't have bia with the guy for 30 days, but not afterwards. So Tosfos asked, he says, why not afterwards as well? Couldn't she make a migo that said, she could say what? She could have said that he never came to me at all. But instead she said that we didn't have bia for 30 days. So she had a very good migo to make. So why don't we say that this migo is going to work? Why isn't she neman even la'achar, even after 30 days? So Tosfos says that the chazaka knocks it out, right? There's a chazaka that she wouldn't be able to stay away from him. So therefore, it's not the chazaka knocks out. The chazaka is going to knock out the migo. Fine. So, but Tosfos is saying this case is comparable to our case. And if you look in this case of Yevamos, right, there is no cheskas mamon in this case, right? Yet we still say there's no cheskas mamon in this case. There's no obligation of mamon in this situation, right? In this case, it's ishus. Yet we still say the chazaka is going to knock out the migo, right? In this situation, the chazaka that she wouldn't be able to hold back from having bia is still going to knock out the migo. So must be that Tosfos is drawing that comparison of this case of Yevamos to our case of our Gemara. Must be that the shail of our Gemara has nothing to do with cheskas mamon. We don't care that this person has a cheskas mamon. So Tosfos is responding back and saying that chazaka doesn't work to motzi mamon. The chazaka. So what's the chazaka doing? The chazaka is just ruining ruins the taina. But the chazaka isn't necessarily going to be motzi. Okay. So that's how Tosfos would respond to the shita mekubetzes. So Eza Kushi Acharis Efsliyashe Lefi Hashita Mekubetzes. So what's another question that the shita could respond to? So the question was, so Tosfos, he explains the Gemara in Yevamos, right? But according to the shita Mekubetzes, how are we going to explain the Gemara in Yevamos? So he would say it works out very well. In a situation where there's a cheskas mamon plus amigo versus a chazaka, then we're going to have a suffix. But he would say, our case, our Gemara Nivamos, because there is no cheskas mamon in this situation, because it's a case of ishus, then of course the chazaka is going to win out. Of course the chazaka is going to beat out the migo. Okay, then moving on to the last part of the question. Kesset Efshel Levayer Safik Gemara Bofen Acher. So, what will be another way to explain the Safik of our Gemara of this Migo went out or this Chazaka went out? So, we mentioned this idea of the question of whether this idea of Pesh Aser, right? So we said that the Lova could say Poreya Bizman, and he creates a Cheskas Chiyuv. What does that mean? Meaning that he's coming if he once the situation is Bizmano, right, and the loan should have been paid up already. We view it as a cheskas pater, we assume he already paid. Once the date of the loan already passed up, we assume he paid. So what's he doing? By coming over here and saying praticha b'toch hazman, he's creating a new chiyuv, right? He's creating a problem for himself, and he's creating a new chiyuv. So the question was over here. Now that's how we understand the case, right? This idea of pesh aser. This guy that he was totally putter, like no one would have come to him, and they would assume he already paid. Yet from the fact that he's the pesh aser, do we say that that's strong enough to knock out a chazaka? That's the question, right? He could have let it go and said, you know, I paid bizman or whatever. But he's the pesha aser, and he's coming and saying, no, I paid b'tel chazman. You say that the pesha aser is that stronger than a chazaka or not? And this is no relation to the Gemara Yevamos, which isn't dealing with pesha aser. This is totally separate. And the question is a pesha aser strong enough to knock out the chazaka? And that was another way to explain the suffix of our Gemara of should migo went out or should chazaka went out. Okay. Shkaya.